What's going on, Ghost fam? On this episode, we have a very interesting story from a new friend, and Ghost Joe talks spirit communication with EVPI and Staticom founder Tony Rathman. So let's go!
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am your host, Ghost Joe, and do I have an awesome show for you guys tonight. I'm going to play for you an interview that I had done on Facebook and YouTube Live last week with an extremely important person in the paranormal field, and you'll see what I'm talking about very, very soon with that. But first, I'm going to play for you a true account from a guy named Andrew out there in Australia. I always talked about how there's a very fine line between demonic possession and mental health issues, and Andrew is going to take us through his harrowing experience, so please check it out. By the way, he has a YouTube channel called Andrew's Clubhouse, so please go support him and subscribe. While you're there, also, you could subscribe to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast page if you haven't done so already. So, check it out. Here's Andrew. By the way, listener discretion advised, and there may be a bunch of trigger things going on in here, so please, please, please listen at your own risk. This gets very, very dark and very deep, so check it out.
Hey there, my name is Andrew, and I have a podcast and YouTube channel called Andrew's Clubhouse that I'd love you guys to check out. And today, I'll be diving into something deeply personal, something I've been asked to share, my experience with mania and delirium, a time when I truly believed I was possessed by the devil. And that's a really heavy topic, and it's something that I talk about a lot on my channel. But, you know, it's part of my story, and it's really, really, really important for me to talk about this stuff because I'm still trying to understand it, sort of grasp it, come to terms with what happened, you know. And it all started last year where I had this sort of period where I thought that I was dancing with the devil, but somehow I thought I was in communion with God. You know, it was like this delusion of grandeur. It all kicked off when I finally confronted my abusive drug addict dad. I had years of repressed anger and the pain of growing up with a violent drug addict. It just boiled over. I wanted to tell him how he'd made me feel, but it spiraled out of control. I was so overwhelmed with anger. I smashed a statue of Mary and I attacked him and I choked him after he touched me. Ugh. I just lost it. And it took like six grown men to pry me off my father. I desperately wanted to kill him. The rage was uncontrollable. And that was just the beginning. A couple of weeks after that, I went to Europe with my cousin and sister, but I was in a completely different headspace. I couldn't connect with them. We went to Finland, to Rovaniemi, and as soon as we got to our Airbnb, I just left. I was waking up at like midnight or 1 a.m., driving for hours. I drove from the Arctic Circle to Sweden like twice, right in the middle of the night. I just had to keep driving. And I couldn't be around people. I was manic. I was hyperactive. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't focus. I was consumed with anger, but euphoria at the same time. My mind was racing, a million thoughts a minute, all of them disjointed. I was convinced I was on the verge of some grand revelation, but I couldn't grasp what it was. And I ended up in this small town in Germany called Bayerischel, where I saw a statue of Christ, and I felt this intense remorse for it because there was a branch that was hitting the statue's chest. So I climbed up on the tree and I sort of cut it off, and I had this huge, huge, huge feeling of like catharsis, and I wept for ages. And then I got back to Sydney and the hyperactivity just continued. And then I found out that my cousin had died tragically when I was hospitalized. I was sectioned by the police. They took me to hospital and I found out that my best friend had died. And the anger, the delirium, it just took a hold of me. I was in a state where I had these intense, invasive thoughts where I like fantasized about slitting my family's throats and bathing in their blood. And I really, really, really wanted to hurt people. I sort of had to like bunker down at home. I kicked my wife out of our marital home with our four kids because I was scared of what I'd do to them. Then another cousin died. And it was like a switch flipped. I was sandwiched between two deaths, trauma and violence. Took the second death to set me out of it. After that, I started to feel better, more spiritual. Started taking my medication, sleeping better. Now I'm just shell-shocked. And it's strange to look back on. But yeah, it's all part of my journey and I'm still in recovery. Ugh. So guys, if you have any repressed anger, let it out. Don't let the devil in. You might kill someone.
Wow. Whew. I'm going to need a cold shower and a beer after that one. That was pretty damn heavy. And, you know, I definitely, appreciate, Andrew for sharing this with us. Because it takes a lot of courage to talk about this stuff, and he did so, and, he's making good use of it by talking about it and making a podcast about it, all this stuff and, you know, just trying to inform and help people. So yeah, so I applaud you very, very much, Andrew. And please check out Andrew's Clubhouse on YouTube. You know, definitely give him a support. And yeah, man. So now, let's get on to our main event with my podcast interview with Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations founder, Mr. Tony Rathman. By the way, he plays some sound clips that I had enhanced, but if you watch the interview on YouTube, there are subtitles because it's a little hard to make out exactly what the entities are saying. By the way, all of Tony's links as well as Andrew's links will be in the show notes. So please check them out. So without further ado, here is Tony Rathman. Hey, Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast listeners. We've got an incredible guest joining us today. It's Mr. Tony Rathman. He's a paranormal investigator and researcher specializing in ITC, instrumental transcommunication. And he's here to talk about something truly groundbreaking called Staticom. Staticom is a brand new method of spear communication that's shaking up the paranormal field. Tony is going to share the fascinating story behind Staticom, how it works, and why it might just be the future of spear communication. If you're into the paranormal research or even just curious, you'll definitely want to stick around for this one. So let's dive in and welcome Mr. Tony Rathman.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you having me on. Appreciate being here and always love talking about Staticom, ITC, and whether spirit communication can actually occur, and hoping after your audience watches this show, they'll see that it is 100% possible.
Awesome. 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 So, my thing with, EVPs, right? Regular EVP kind of stuff. To me, it's a little iffy for me, you know, some of the stuff. And some of the stuff that's out there is just, I don't know, you know, you're using radio waves. I mean, I know things are supposed to come over that aren't normally coming over, I guess. But it just seems a little bit, you know, I don't even know how you would call it. I know pareidolia is when you think you see something in a picture. And that pretty much works the same way with audio stuff too. You know, somebody's like, oh, this is what I heard. And then as soon as you say that that's what you heard, that's what everybody else is going to hear. You know, so it's really kind of, you know, iffy to me in a lot of ways. You know, I'm not skeptical. I know it works, you know, to an extent, but it's just, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, on and off with that kind of thing.
No, so. And that's totally understandable. And let me give you some history as to why that is. there were multiple methods of spirit communication. You had direct radio voice, you had spirit comm. Now, there's some real questions whether spirit comm was actually legit or not. And then anyone in the United States, when they hear ITC, think of the spirit box developed by Frank Sumption. The concern that we noted with spirit boxes, and this took probably about a decade because my wife and I built them for about 12 years. We never sold anything because we weren't building them to sell. We were building them for research. But you're absolutely right about using a radio. If you're claiming that you're getting communication from the other side and your method, your base method is a radio, which is absolutely intended to do that. It is made to take RF signals in the atmosphere and convert them to either speech or music. So you're going to hear vocals. Hmm. That was the one of the major scientific complaints about anyone claiming to be able to communicate with the other side was, A, you're using a radio. You're probably picking up stray radio waves, or in the case of a spirit box, you are picking up radio because it scans up and down through radio stations. But that was complaint number one. And it's a legitimate complaint. I mean, if you're claiming you're receiving speech and then trying to claim it's from the other side, but your device you're using is a radio, it makes pretty perfect sense that people would have doubt in it. The next area of complaint was, especially on EVP, was that you're hearing what they would call warbles and artifacts. Basically, sounds, crackles, bumps, things within the noise field that the human brain would search to understand, maybe come up with a word or two that you think you're hearing. But yet it's not speech at all. It's warbles and artifacts of sound. That was complaint number two. So when we built Staticom, we wanted to erase both of those. How would we do that? Well, step one was to remove the radio completely. We now use a white noise generator, which produces every sound the human ear can hear from 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. And it basically makes the noise of static, like what it sounds like between two radio stations. That is all we use. There is no speech in there. There is no words. There are no sentences. There are no vocal data at all. It is pure broadband white noise. That is the only input into the system. We then filter it for frequency, for noise reduction, for extracting any words that come through. And then at the end, we cut the white noise out completely, leaving only the voice.
Wow, that's great that you're able to do such technology like that nowadays. I mean, it's awesome. I remember there was a movie a while back called, I think it was called White Noise, with, I think it was Kevin Bacon. And yeah, I remember that movie. It was a good movie too.
Yeah, I do know that movie, and it's funny that you know, White Noise was the name of it, but sometimes there's more reality in fiction than known. And
absolutely.
I mean, if you look back to the 1970s Star Trek TV show, I mean, we have half those devices today. Maybe not the teleporter, but the flip open phones, the communicators, we don't have the laser guns yet, but I'm sure they're coming.
I'm still waiting for the teleporter too. Waiting for that one. So you have a bachelor's degree in philosophy, right?
I do.
How did that influence your views on the paranormal and the afterlife? How did, you know, studying the philosophy and stuff actually, and how did you, if you don't mind, you know, because some people it's a personal thing, but how did you yourself get into the whole paranormal field?
Okay. I mean, I graduated with a major in philosophy, minor in human development and psychology. did not know what I was going to do with any of them, and ended up working marketing. I've done that for the last 36 years. So philosophy didn't necessarily play a huge role in what I do for a living, but I didn't believe any of this 15 years ago. None of it. When the TV show started coming out, it was my wife that had the interest. She'd call me over every time she was watching a show, said, sit down. You're going to love this. You got to see this. I'd sit down for about 2 minutes, get up and go, this is BS. This is not real. This is for television only. It's entertainment. None of this exists. Well, then in 2010 on Valentine's Day, she tricked me. And she said, I want to do something different this Valentine's Day. I said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, I want to go ghost hunting. And I was like, oh, nice. My God, you're kidding me. Well, I had two choices. I could take her or have her mad at me until next Valentine's Day. So I didn't want that. So I looked up online, found a place here in Phoenix that supposedly was, and I put in quotes, haunted. So I booked the weekend. And I thought, okay, I'm done. She'll be happy. And I thought, wait a minute. These people are using equipment. She's going to need something to investigate with. So I went out, bought her a night vision camera, digital recorder, and EMF meter and thought, okay, I'm done. So we went for the weekend. I played along. I just thought, you know, it'd be a fun weekend for her. I knew that's what she wanted to do. So I played along. I took pictures, ran the video camera, asked questions to the digital recorder like she was, and she had a great weekend. So that was all that mattered to me. But when she got it home and she started going through it, that's where my mind just started to spin. And what I focused on the most was the digital recordings. We were the only two people up at 3 a.m. We were in the basement of the hotel. There was no one else around. And we were both asking questions and there were answers on there. And I could not for the life of me, I tried to debunk it for like a month, couldn't figure out where these voices had come from. So after getting extremely frustrated, I said, let's go back and try it again. Maybe there were some vents down there or something. So we went back, couldn't find any vents, couldn't find any source of sound coming from anywhere. And when we got home, there were even more voices to the question we asked the second trip. So that's how it started. I was fascinated with the fact that I could get an answer when no one else was anywhere near us, or even up for that matter. I could ask a question and get a response on a recorder that I could hear, understand what it was saying. That fascinated me. So that was back in 2010. It's now 2025. So it's been over 15 years. But we just kept progressing. We got interested from EVP to ITC. We experimented with spirit boxes. I didn't like how they worked. I didn't like how they sounded. I hated the white noise. So we spent about a decade building new versions of spirit boxes, ones that used the white noise, but you couldn't hear it. It was just voice. But the thing we couldn't fix was we couldn't get longer responses. And that was what frustrated me. You'd get a word or two at best. And the reason for that through our research is we determined that there's a flaw in the whole spirit box development. The people, Frank Sumption, believed that they would take the fragments of audio from the radio stations it was scanning through and they would manipulate those fragments of audio into their own to make new sentences. Well, from a practical standpoint, that seems a little difficult to understand because every sound would have to be available to them at that exact moment for them to rearrange them into new sentences. But what we determined through multiple tests was that the radio signal wasn't needed at all. In fact, what the radio signal does is it completely cuts off the spirit's ability to speak. So when it hits a radio station, the white noise is gone. Their ability to speak is also gone.
Wow. Wow. I mean, and it's funny. I mean, you know, this EVP stuff has been around for so long now. And I mean, I'm glad that it's finally progressing to something that, is actually usable and so audible, you know, nowadays, because I mean, the technology is there, right? I mean, it's there. So I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
Now, yeah, absolutely. So you had started, Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations. When did you start that?
And also 2010, probably okay. About, maybe 6 months after we did the first, maybe five investigations. And we had good audio right from the start. And then my wife said, "You going to share any of this with anybody else?" And I said, "Well, why?" And she said, "Because people would want to hear this." So then we started Entity Voices and built a website and YouTube channel and a bunch of other ones and started to share them. And now 15 years later, you know, like I said, we went from spirit boxes to direct radio voice, now to Staticom. And now we're on Staticom version 3.0 today.
Wow. Wow. That's excellent. So can you give us a little bit more about, I mean, how it works and tell us, what some of the finds that you've had with it, you know, any like specific incident where you're like, "Wow, I can't believe I caught all this," or "I can't believe I caught this."
Yeah, absolutely. The change from direct radio voice to Staticom was the removal of the radio. The other things we did was anybody who does EVP work with a digital recorder, it's what's called record and review, meaning they'll start the recorder, they'll ask their questions, they'll leave pauses to hear answers, then they'll shut it off, take it home, they'll upload it to their computer, they may amplify it, they may try to reduce background noise, they may try to, you know, reverse it in some cases, or speed it up, slow it down. Staticom does all of that in real time. Wow. So there is no adjustments needed. The machine does it itself. And the difference between getting EVP, asking a question, and then hearing the answer hours later when you're no longer in the location and at home trying to figure out what was said, Staticom is two-way communication. I can ask a question, get a response. I'll hear the response live and can ask another question in conjunction to the answer that was given. And that conversation can just keep going back and forth.
Wow. Well, so how did, excuse me. So how did that change from, oh, by the way, how you doing, Sarah? How's it going? Dan, Melissa, how's everybody? So how did it change? What was the evolution from Staticom 1.0 to 3.0 right now?
Well, the evolution from DRV to Staticom was, as I said, removing the radio.
Okay.
From Staticom to the next version was getting more clarity in the voice, trying to make sure that we could get away from anyone saying, "Hey, those are warbles and artifacts of sound. That's not speech." We wanted this clear enough that anyone who heard it, without telling them what you think you heard, because it's live, anyone, we've had rooms full of people and they've all heard the same response. So it's no different than, you know, if you're talking to somebody on a speakerphone on a telephone. Wow. But then Staticom 2 was additional clarity, additional length of sentences. And Staticom 3 was Staticom through Staticom 2 would give clear sentences at times, but it wouldn't hold it indefinitely. Staticom 3 will hold that clarity indefinitely, meaning I can have a conversation from the time I turn it on to the time I turn it off without losing the clarity of the speech that's coming through.
Wow. Wow. That's now let's, this kind of thing, this is very, high tech stuff. I mean, it's got to cost thousands and thousands of dollars for one of these boxes, right?
Well, we don't sell them yet. They're literally, literally Staticom 3.0 is the only one in the world.
Oh, wow.
Now I've got three of them because I always make sure that I have one that's fully operational, or in this case, three of them. But there is a Staticom 2.0 that is out there on the East Coast. But right now, those are the only two, one Staticom 2.0 and one Staticom 3.0. But the other one has a different name. It's called the Digital Seance Experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the one we run along with the two backups is the only one that's available today. And the reason that is, and people always ask, well, is this going to be available? Yeah, at some point it will. But this isn't like a spirit box where you buy it, you hit the on switch, and it runs. This is much more savvy, a little bit more complicated, understanding sound, sound waves, frequency, physics principles of how sound interacts. And then it uses a system that is basically an entire audio studio in electronic components for filtration, clarity, removing background noise. So, you know, you also need to know how to function all of those in order to get this, you know, perfectly dialed in. So yeah, if we were to release it, in fact, there's a gentleman right now who's showing the basic startup. His name's Keith Clark, and you can get the basics of the understanding of how it works. But again, out of all the people that I know that have tried, I think I only know one that's still doing it, because people are like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Wow. So I mean, you couldn't have done all this from being a philosopher, right? So what other kind of training have you had to be able to do all this cool audio stuff that you're doing?
Well, I worked when I was like 16 in a electronics repair shop. So I fixed radios, people bring them in saying, hey, this isn't working, what's wrong? Televisions, just about any electronic device that was around in the late 80s. So that gave me the electronics background. So when we got into the voices and we started buying our first spirit boxes, the SB7, the SB11, finally I said, I don't like how this sounds. I'm taking it apart. And I did. I said, okay, how does this thing function? Looked at what components it was using and said, I can build these. So then for the next decade, we built one. We build at least one a year. I think over 10 years, we have 14 of them. One each better than the last. But I haven't touched them in the last 3 years, 3.5 years, because what Staticom can do compared to what a spirit box can do, night and day difference. Absolutely night and day difference.
Wow. You know, I was going to say too, I'm like, you look like one of those guys. I'll be like, let me take it apart and see how it works. I know I'd be one of the guys that take it all apart and be like, I don't know how to put it back together, you know, and end up throwing it out in the garbage.
You know, that probably did happen once. I do remember going, it wasn't that I couldn't get it back together. I snapped some wire and I don't remember where it came from. So I was like, all right, chuck it.
So with EVPI, the Entity Voices Paranormal Investigations, what kind of places have you guys investigated? Do you have any memorable investigations with that?
Yeah, after 15 years, we've been all over the United States, and I could probably spend 45 minutes trying to name all the locations. But I mean, big ones: Phelps Dodge Hospital, Queen Mary, Bel Air House, White Hill Mansion, Kreischer Mansion. I mean, I don't want to try to go down the whole list, but we've been all over. But some of the best investigations happened outside of the country, both in Japan and the Philippines. We had some absolutely just phenomenal investigations in those locations.
Wow. You said the Kreischer Mansion?
Yep.
Is that what you said? Yeah, that's my old hometown in Staten Island.
Really?
I grew up there. Cool. Actually, I actually have an experience from that place. Directly with that place, not in there. I used to work down the block from there at this recording studio that used to be there. And my friends went up there and they claim they're like, oh, something was chasing us. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, right? and then after that, for a good like 5 months or something like that, I'd come in, I'd be the only one with the keys. I'd come in, PA speakers would be on, lights would flicker on and off, and then the computer would glitch and I'd get knocking on doors. I'd hear breaths and voices all over the place. I'm like, I guess they followed him back here, and as I've said, I think I probably even said in one of the last episodes, we all know, or a lot of us know, that these spirits or entities use electricity or energy from electricity to do certain tasks and stuff. So, I know that a bunch of times that's what had happened. The lights started flickering and then I heard knocking on my office door out of nowhere. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not answering that. I'm just not going to answer it. I know there's nobody here with me and I'm just not answering it. Sorry.
Understood.
But yeah, no, Chrysler Mansion is a spooky place, man. I enjoy the being right over there. I mean, Staten Island has a lot of great haunted or historic places over there too. The Conference House and a few other places as well. And now, what can you tell me about the Cooper Canyon Paranormal Research Center?
That was closed in November of 2021. It was the old Phelps Dodge Hospital. It was sold. The people were going to turn it into a new hotel. That has not occurred, but they didn't want us operating it anymore for haunted, but that was an awesome location. We caught the most amazing shadow figure in there one night. 3D, wow. Comes out from the hall, walks towards the camera, turns around, walks back, goes back into the room that it came out of. And it's just, that was a great, great location. We do miss it. Do miss it for wow. sure.
Now, in all of your investigations that you've done, other than, Staticom, what would you say is the most crucial or one of the most crucial pieces of equipment that a ghost hunter, paranormal investigator should have?
Well, I would say a digital recorder. But that's just because, you can get a mountain of information from a vocal. I don't care if a light blinks or music plays or, any other device. The second I hear the voice, I can tell if it's male or female. I can tell if it's an adult or child. I can tell their emotional state. Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they angry? Are they upset? I can tell what language they're speaking. I can tell if they have some sort of dialect or territorial accent. I can get all of that information before I even hear the answer they gave to the question I asked. That to me is absolutely unbeatable, which is why I think vocal responses, whether that be through EVP or ITC, are unbeatable as far as evidence.
And how do you envision the future of the spirit communication evolving, particularly with Staticom?
Well,
what do you hope to achieve with it?
It's going to change so many things. The communication that we're talking about is not like an EVP. Okay, so this is the kind of communication we're talking about. This is not 3.0 yet. This is 2.0. But it'll give you a very good indication of what I'm talking about communication. So let's go ahead and play this. I hope I shared audio. I didn't see a share audio button. Let me know if you can hear it.
Sure.
Can you say Tony?
Yep.
Did you just say Rat? Yep. So you know who I am. Can I know who you are?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Who am I speaking to?
So that was 2.0.
Wow.
So when we're talking about, you know, when you were saying EVPs, they're hard to hear, spirit boxes, I can't hear what they're saying. This is completely different. We spent, oh my gosh, a couple of years just getting this to work like we wanted it to work. But with 2.0, we started getting into research questions as well. We took it well beyond just asking normal questions. Hold on, let me pause that. But one of the main questions was that if I'm human and when I speak, I'm using my vocal cords to produce sound. That sound travels through the atmosphere, maybe 100 meters, 200 meters before it dissipates. Another human standing within that range, the follicles in their ear vibrate. That pushes that vibration to a liquid center of the ear. That liquid also then begins to vibrate, sends a message to the brain that says, hey, this is speech. Let's pay attention to this. But if a spirit or an entity isn't human anymore and they have no ears, how do they hear me speak? That's the question I wanted to know. That's what I ask here, and here's the answer that they gave me.
How do you hear me speak?
So,
wow,
that's an awesome answer for two reasons. One, after doing EVP work for 12 years, there were times that the answer would show up on the recorder before I even finished asking it. Energy of the mind means that they're not listening to my vocals. They are getting it from my consciousness or my thoughts. That's how they're receiving what I'm asking. So that also supports the new scientific theory that they're trying to prove that consciousness may in fact survive death, called the survival theory. So that answer is about as legit as you can get. You know, they said we call it death, meaning we're not in human form anymore. We're not like you, but it's energy of the mind. That's the thing. That's how they're understanding what we're asking, the questions that we're asking, and so forth.
Wow. And I find it so amazing too, because the clips that you're showing us, you know, like you had said, you know, the older or the EVP stuff, it's one word here, right, one word there. A lot of times it's broken up. It might be Ozzy Osbourne saying a word instead of, you know, the spirit saying a word.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If it's radio, you can't pull apart reception from deception using a radio. That's why we got rid of it.
Right. So, I mean, just the fact that it's saying full sentences. I mean, well, not it. The spirit is saying full sentences like that. And it's not like it's robotic. It's not, right, you know, a silly AI voice or, right, or you know, the silly AI voices that some of these boxes have and stuff like that. And it's using real, like real terms,
correct,
you know, when it said, that's the thing, you know, like that's
correct,
a regular speech pattern that people, what people would say.
Yeah.
We had these
voices analyzed by audio engineers. And that was one of the things they said was, we have never heard anything like this before because it follows the absolute consonant, diphthong, vowel usage, the emotional expression in the voice, the typical pauses that is only found in human speech. And this is replicating it to a T. Now, again, there's no AI, there's no word banks, there's no internet used, there's no nothing. It is a closed circuit system with white noise only, filtered, and the voices appear. Now, how do we think that happens? Well, because we're using white noise, we believe it's being caused by a physics principle called stochastic resonance. Basically, what stochastic resonance is it's an elevation of the weak or undetectable noises. So it's kind of like the difference between a single bee flying a foot from your head or the entire hive. The entire hive, same pitch, same sounds, it's going to elevate that, the volume of that sound, the strength of the sound. That's what happens in this process using the white noise to elevate their voice above and beyond the layer where the white noise is at, and then we can cut the white noise out, leaving just the voice.
That's incredible. that's amazing, man. That really is. I mean, that's totally groundbreaking. So that's amazing. I think you had commented, right, when I had put up an EVP clip that had come across when me and when me and April Bazette had our interview, and I put up a little sound clip of what we think might have been an EVP. I believe you might have commented on that. Yeah, that was you, right?
Yeah, that was me.
What'd you think of that? Because, I mean, my thing is, whenever you're going through something like this, Riverside or Zoom or anything like that, there's always some kind of digital, you know, clipping or digital, you know, stutters and stuff like that. Did you think that that might have been the real thing, or do you think it could have been
that was voice? Glitch? No doubt about it. I mean, like I said, after 15 years, we can tell when it's some sort of warble or artifact of sound versus voice. That voice, I can't remember what I am here or.
I think it was like we're here or something like that. As soon as me and April said hello, it said something. Right.
Yeah. I remember hearing it. I think April and you thought it said we're here. I thought it said something. Yeah. Or, I don't know. I have to go back and look at my response, but yeah, it was voice. No doubt about it though.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That was cool. That's not even the first time that's happened also. I mean, I've had, you know, I guess because I'm doing these shows and stuff down here, you know, it draws some, you know, some energies and stuff like that, especially, well, let me just say this though, April, if you're watching, it came from your side. Okay. It was on your sound clip that voice came from, not from over here.
So that means it's at your house, April.
That's right. That's right. No, that was a great interview. I loved talking to her. I was glad that I was able to do a part two of that also. It
was awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. That was so cool.
She's got great stories. She's a great guest too. So
she is. She is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So now the next clip I'm going to play is, I was still in the process of building 3.0. I was doing coding. I was doing adjustments. I was doing all sorts of things. And the voice just appeared as I was putting in coding. And it just started talking. So that's the clip I'm going to play next. And this is 3.0.
Who are you trying to find? You're nervous. What? Are you trying to send us a message?
Roger meaning yes or Roger meaning Roger?
Are you talking about Roger Martin?
Wow. Wow.
So that was, I mean, like I said, that was the first voice that had ever come through 2.0. And my wife started asking questions, flipped on her camera phone to record it. And they were acknowledging our friend Roger. They were basically having a conversation back and forth with my wife. And that's what I was saying, that Staticom is two-way communication.
Wow. I got to hear some more.
All right.
That's amazing.
All right. So the next one, All right. Hold on. I'm just looking for where that one went. All right. So this was either the same night or I think the next night. We knew we had it working. We knew communication was coming through. So here's some more communication the following night.
Rathman, I heard you say Rathman. Yes. What did you want to say to Roger? It's Tony. Spirits, can you hear me? Yes, okay. That was a loud voice that just answered. What's your name? That's a strange name. How many spirits are here with us right now? A lot? A lot, yeah, that's what I thought you said. Because there's so many of you, is that why all the background chatter? They're talking? Do you have any messages for us? Rathman, I heard that.
Oh my God. That's insane, man.
Yeah,
that's...
we're talking real two-way communication. We've been working on this, like I said, 15 years. But Staticom just in the last Staticom 3.0 is about 70 some days old. And you know, on 2.0 we did get clear responses, but they never stayed. You'd get a real clear answer and then you'd wait 15, 20 minutes to get one that was clear again. So we said, that's got to be rectified. And then we figured out what the concern was, rectified it. And now the voices just keep coming. So I'm going to play another one. This was, I think, a different evening. It may not have been. I don't remember. Once we had it up and running, and we literally ran it for 8 hours asking questions. But here's another.
I'm dumbfounded right now, man. I'm like, that's. I mean, they were like arguing with each other. Like, I'm speaking. Right. I'm trying to talk to him. I mean, that's insane.
We don't even have to say anything. We can turn it on and we can listen to them talk.
And they even said, like, you've done it. Like, you could hear us. Like, I mean, that's correct. Wow, man.
All right. Here's another.
Like, that's like emotional, man. But keep going. Well, that's incredible.
There's so many areas that this will affect, not just the paranormal, but hopefully science as well. I mean, I don't know what better proof you can get that consciousness survives death, or nobody would be answering. We don't use any mics, we don't transmit any signal. I ask a question in my own human tone of voice, no mics, no broadcasting, and an answer comes back out of nowhere almost instantaneously with timing and relevance to the question that I asked.
Wow.
All right, next clip. Here we go.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I can hear you when you whisper. You know that, right? Spirits, if you're not familiar with this, the device is called Staticom. If you heard me say Staticom.
Now, can you say Staticom for me, please?
Okay. My experience. If you don't want to say Stanley Cup, let's play another game. What am I holding in my hands? Glasses. Thank you. Thank you very much. How about pineapple? Can you say pineapple? Oh, perfect. Thank you. How can you say Statcom like that?
It's one word.
It's one word. Statcom. Have you not been able to talk to humans before? If you can hear me, spirits, say elephant.
Do you know Tony?
It's me. If we use this device to help cold cases, will you answer the question? Yeah, sure. You bet. Thank you.
That'll help
a lot.
So that gives you a pretty good indication of what now we're talking about and how that relates to what we're saying, that it's definitely a step up from EVP, from spirit boxes. It's true two-way communication.
Wow. Wow. It's funny too, because they said Statcom and I guess you guys didn't catch it. And they're like, correct. Listen, like, wow.
And then they commented, look, listen, people, or whatever he said, like you didn't hear it. You weren't paying attention.
I mean, it proves a lot of things, but to me, it proves that you don't lose your personality, you know, when you go over.
Not at all.
That's one of the things one of the sayings I've been saying for a long time in a different way. But, you know, basically I would say, you know, if you were an a-hole in life, you're going to be an a-hole in death. You know, like it's just, you know, you take your personality over to the other side. And that just kind of proves that.
It's crazy. They're all different voices. They're different temperament, different ways they respond. In that last clip, they actually said something to my wife in Tagalog, because she speaks Tagalog, Japanese, and English. And there was a Tagalog sentence in there, which she's like, okay, they said this. And I think I wrote the English underneath it. But it was still communication in regards to what the subject matter was. So, it's mind-blowing. It really is.
So this is all being taken place in your home, correct?
Some of it. We have, like I said, it's only about 70 days old, and we've been working feverishly to do many, many things. One, make it portable so that we've taken it now on two different investigations. We've got a third one coming up here shortly, and we plan to take it back to the Philippines before end of year. Because there's just some awesome locations over there. And last time we were there, we didn't have Statcom with us, but this time it's definitely going.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's like I said before, it's crazy, man. I mean, it's amazing. It really, really is amazing.
The amount of information that we can get, they will tell us, they will say just about anything if it's something that occurred in the past, which is why my wife and I want to use it to help with cold cases. I mean, it's bad enough if a family's grieving the loss of somebody, but it's twice as bad if they don't know what happened, don't know where they are. And I think this would be an unbelievable device to help with that, which is what we're planning on doing with it. But what they won't tell you is the future. I mean, we've asked for the winning Powerball numbers. I don't know how many hundred times. We don't get them. They won't even give out numbers. They won't say anything. But we also believe, I mean, we had the, once we started getting responses and realizing information that we were being told, it literally made us take a step back and look at what we believed reality to be. And we had to reevaluate what we believed reality to be. But one of the things that we adopted was a method called analytic idealism, which basically states that there's one ontological primitive or one primary block of life, and that block is consciousness. It's there before you're born, it's with you while you're here on Earth, and then it returns to universal consciousness, shared knowledge for all after death, which is how we can ask any spirit any question and still get 100% correct answer. Because it's one mind, one universal consciousness, one thought process. So no matter which one we ask, they all have the same knowledge, which is the reason why when we're speaking into a digital recorder from a spirit that maybe was alive in the 1800s, why they're not dumbfounded by what we're doing, what words we're using, it's common knowledge because it's transferred back and forth. It's the same way somebody who's psychic receives information. It's universal consciousness sending it to them, and they're porous enough to intercept it. It's pretty much that simple, or that's the belief that we have derived to explain how all of this is occurring.
Wow. Wow. So just, you know, in conclusion, I guess, what do you have coming up, you know, in the near future? And
lots.
You know, what do you got?
We will be in Globe, Arizona, April 12th, doing speech, live demonstration of Staticom. Anybody that's in the Arizona state wants to come out and see it. We will be in Phenomicon in Utah, September 3rd through the 6th. We will be in Halifax, Canada at the Canadian Paranormal Symposium, speaking about Staticom, giving a lecture presentation of how it operates. And we also do regular events where public's invited. They can ask their own questions, hear their answer just as everyone else can hear it in the room at the same time. It's phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, no, that's an understatement, sir. That's an understatement for sure. So how could somebody get in touch with you if they wanted to know more about Staticom or you know, your investigation?
Sure.
You know, team, how
do they get in touch? If you're looking for clips that Staticom has captured, just go to YouTube, type in Staticom. The page will come right up. If you're looking for investigation information on top of Staticom, you can go to our website, entityvoices.com, or you can go to Facebook. I've got multiple Facebook channels. Tony Rathman is my main one, but I've got Entity Voices, Entity Voices LLC, Staticom, every page under it, but Facebook is another area that you can get a hold of us, ask questions, things like that.
Wow. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all this stuff with me.
You bet.
It's fascinating to say the least, man. I mean, it's incredible.
Thank you.
And yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait to see what you're going to come up with next and uncover and everything. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck with everything that you're doing.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So thank you, everybody, for joining me tonight. Thank you to Tony Rathman and Andrew for your awesome content. Don't forget to check out all of their links in the show notes, and I'll talk to you guys next time. See you next week. Later. Oh, by the way, I also wanted to thank the Get Haunted Paranormal Network. They're awesome. They've been helping me out a lot, and, you know, a lot of great people going, doing that stuff. So I can't wait to meet them in person, too, one day. So that's going to be awesome, too. So, yeah, everybody. Have a great week. See you next time. Later. Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.